can find it on page 106 in the Blue Bibles. Page 106. Read with me. Chapter 20, verses 12. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Aryan, and I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. If you have our blue Bible, that's page 1669. All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
This is a way of telling you, you've got to go out to the Lord Street rooms now. That would be fantastic. I promise I won't throw anything else on you if you disobey. Thank you very much, guys. Oh, yeah, those little glasses. We'll get those back shortly. Otherwise, they become projectiles. Thank you, Anna. I'll take them. Lovely. George is going to come and preach to us, which is great. This is her first time preaching at George. Let's give her a round of applause.
Thank you. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord God, we bow before you, our Heavenly Father. Help us by the power of your Spirit to hear and receive your words to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are up to honour your father and mother, the fifth commandment. And I'm very pleased to say that my children turned out to hear me. So I expect heckling from this corner, but don't worry about it. We'll just ignore them. But I won't ask you, especially my children, if they were tempted to roll their eyes when they heard that we are talking about this commandment. Because for some, this commandment may be seen as nothing more than keeping your bedroom tidy commandment. But for some, honouring your parents can be a very painful subject, which is no laughing matter. And whatever situation we are in with our family, we must acknowledge that families are important, our relationships with our family are important, and they play a big part of who we are and how we are to be, how God wants us to be. But we will look at some of the difficulties maybe a bit later. But for most of us, we don't like being told what to do. So when it comes to a list like the Ten Commandments, there is going to be a measure of kickback. And our society does try to preach to us today, often in the guise of political correctness. So we're going to get some sort of resistance when we look at what the Ten Commandments mean. And so it's really good for us to look more closely at these so we know why we are getting this resistance. So as we have looked at the first four commandments, for most of us, we probably wouldn't have a problem with these commands if we believe that there is a God. But if we don't believe that there is a God, or our view of God is incomplete or wrong, then we might have difficulty. But basically, if we believe in the God of the Bible, the one triune God, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, then to understand his demand for our undivided loyalty is not really an unreasonable one. But now we're going to come to a different sort of commandment. We turn from how we are to treat God to how we are to treat one another. And it's quite interesting to note how high up in the list of commandments that this one comes in the different section So the how we are to deal with one another. And this will give us an indication of how important it is. And it might be even more important for us who are Westerners, because in the Western culture, we're renowned for not honouring and taking care of our elders. So as the world becomes more and more Westernised, this could become more and more of a problem and get worse. So why is this commandment here? And why is it so important? We have to look at it this way. God has given us this commandment because it is pivotal in the well-being for us as individuals, for us as a community, and for us as a world. Because without it, we would just follow our sinful nature and focus on our rights as individuals. And our sinful, rebellious nature puts us into a head-on conflict with our care and responsibility for each other and this world. Modern ethics would tell us that the rights of the individual are the most important aspect of our democracy. But when you look up what some of those rights are, you can see that they can all be manipulated to completely cancel out the need to think about anybody else or about the consequences that they might have for our world or our families. So this commandment is so much more than just doing as we are told or toeing a line. This commandment teaches us about the authority of God and the value of us as human beings who are made in the image of God. Now, one of the ways in which this commandment is different is because it changes. As we grow and change, our response to this commandment needs to grow and change. So we need to look really at the four main stages of life, which will have a different answer to this command of how we are to honour our parents. Firstly, when we're young children, little children, it's fairly clear and straightforward. We are to obey. As parents, we're given the responsibility and duty of care to raise our children in loving, safe homes for their protection, to raise them to be adults who can contribute to society to the best of their ability. Well, I mean, that's what we're aiming for. We give them boundaries, we give them instructions and examples to guide them. Children should obey because they trust their parents to guide them and to teach them. This is where children will learn how to respect and trust authority, to learn things like time management and setting goals, and learn how to be resilient in the world and experience the joy of finishing a task well. And hopefully they'll learn all about unconditional love. Because if as children, little children, we don't learn how to honour and trust and obey our earthly parents, then how can we learn to honour God? Or indeed any authority over us? And that in effect will affect how we regard things like the law of the land, our boss at work, our attitudes to work, our relationships, and even our marriage vows. But then we hit our teens and things change. This is undoubtedly the most challenging time. And when I say teenage, I really do mean from about 10 to about 30, 40. So this is when our children will begin to discover that their parents aren't perfect. And this is a big lesson that a teen has to learn, is that every human parent is flawed. Every grandparent is flawed. Every aunt, uncle, teacher, friend is flawed. That every person, including them, is a sinner and has fallen short of the glory of God. And in spite of our parents' flaws and our flaws, we are to accept and forgive them for being flawed, and to understand that we still need to respect them and listen to them and show honour to them. So Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So the Bible instructs us again in the New Testament to honor our parents. But it also emphasizes just as strongly that we have a responsibility to think about what sort of parents we are to be too, so that we will receive honor because we have behaved honorably as parents, not because I have the right to be honored no matter how I behave. As teenagers, it's almost seen as a rite of passage to rebel against one's parents and to think that they are ignorant and foolish. But we need to remember that even though we as children didn't get to choose our parents, neither did they get to choose us. So regardless of what we think about our parents, whether they were good or bad, what we can focus on is that their particular DNA has made us the individuals that we are today, and we are unique. And God is much more interested in the unique individual that you are than in your parents' parenting skills. So, how as adults can we honor our parents? Whatever we think of their parenting skills, they may not have been the perfect parents, but I doubt we were the perfect children either. As we become adults, the obey clause recedes, and usually we do get a measure of independence from our parents. So as adults, we need to show our respect and honor to them by appreciating them and giving them our time. After all, it takes a lot of time, money, and effort to raise a child. And so we can at least show our appreciation of that. The statistics tell us that it costs somewhere in between $160,000 and $500,000 to raise a child. So that's a lot of coffees to give up. So we need to show our appreciation of the sacrifices that were made so that we could have the things that we wanted. To show appreciation for the time that they spent listening to our woes, both physical and emotional. For being taxi drivers in all hours. For bringing forgotten things to school. And for being bailed out and being defended in spite of our behaviour. And I'm sure for each of us, there are many stories that we could tell about our childhood, which would have gone to making our parents' hair grey. But we do need to honour them by saying thank you and not talking disrespectfully to them or about them. So as adults, we can honour them by sharing our lives with them. We might think that our lives are uninteresting, but on the most part, our parents will find joy in our ups and want to be there for our downs. They might be removed from us, but they are still our family, and we honor them by showing them that they are an important part of it. And maybe one of the easiest ways of finding out how we can honor our parents is asking them what would make them feel appreciated. But respecting and taking care of our parents is what we're called to do as we all get older. And our relationships and our dependencies will change. Or they might even swap, that suddenly they become dependent on us rather than us dependent on them. And for some, it might be that honouring your parents will take real sacrifices. And for example, for Richard and I, when we moved to Tasmania, our decision was based on his parents to help and support them. And sometimes it is right to choose the right thing by them. And for us, it meant a significant pay cut, and it meant the upheaval of our whole family. But then there will be a time when they are gone, and we can respect and honor them when we remember them fondly for their wisdom, their funny stories, and their idiosyncrasies. But how do we deal with this commandment if we have toxic parents, or if the relationships are broken, or if our relationship with them is unhealthy and damaging, or even abusive? Well, the most important thing to know is that our God, our Heavenly Father, sees and understands our brokenness and their brokenness. The Bible is not unfamiliar with dysfunctional and broken families. And I thought about listing out a few of them, but I think that would take far too long because we start at Adam and Eve. So when we have relationships with our parents that are unhealthy and broken, we might have to identify what the real problem is, and that might take some professional help or the help of a good friend or a Christian mentor. But especially when the situations with our parents are toxic, children of any age don't have to obey, but we do have to respect, and to respect each other as human beings made in the image of God. So asking for or accepting help when we are unable to protect ourselves is appropriate. This means we also have to have an understanding that enabling people in sinful and damaging behavior is not honoring. It's not honoring to them, and it's not honoring to anyone else. And we are to protect the vulnerable. But what we are called to do here is to love. And that might be a really hard thing to do, but first of all, we have to love ourselves, to know how much we are loved by God and valued by Him. And when we do that, it allows us to see that even when we look at the ones that have hurt us, that we are able to look at them through grace-filled and the merciful eyes of God. And to know that whatever shape our earthly relationships are in, God will never leave or forsake us. His love will never fail. Psalm 27 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So, how can we honor our parents in this situation? It might be to have the courage and the strength to make peace with your parents, to honour them by being honest with them. And I know that that's not a simple thing to do, but by dealing with the pain that has been caused and giving opportunity for understanding and forgiveness to take place, as much as it depends on us, and to forge a new relationship with them before it is too late, is the path to healing. It shows honour to our parents as well as to ourselves. And by living in the power of the Holy Spirit to be God's children, that means that we are living the way He has called us to. And having the courage having the courage and strength to stop the cycle of deception and secrecy is how we can have freedom. And that's true freedom. And sometimes the alternative is that often when we harbour pain that is caused by others, and the pain that is caused by our parents can be the deepest pain of all, but we often will then take that out on the ones closest to us. And so the sin continues to hurt us by destroying the good things that God has given us, namely our spouse and our children. Sin, which the Bible describes as being carried on from one generation to the next. So whatever their response, whether it is positive or negative, you know that you have been faithful to God in your dealings with them. And you can leave their hearts and minds in God's hands and begin the process of healing and forgiveness for yourself. But if our parents have gone, if they've died, this is not an option open to us, but it doesn't mean that the pain or the influence is gone as well. But to know that nothing, not one thought, not one action is unseen by God helps us to reconcile the fact that that sin will have been dealt with. And we need to know then that so that we can get on with living our lives, being faithful to God in the here and now. As good parents, we show our children how to deal appropriately with pain, anger, and inappropriate behaviour. And as good Christians, we show them how to love the unlovable, our enemies even, and to forgive. Now, we might think that we could only possibly have the strength to do this when we have conquered all our other demons and everything is aligned and everything is sorted out. But let's face it, that's never going to happen. So I want us to think about the example that Jesus gives us. While Jesus was on the cross, he cares for his mother. Out of the very few words that Jesus uses on the cross, in John's gospel, he uses many of them to care for his mother. John 19 says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." So when we think about that, we have the example of Jesus at the very worst hour of his life, when he is in agony on the cross, he still makes sure that his widowed mother is honored. And he honors his heavenly father by sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and only being able to stand up when he can say, "Not my will, but yours be done." Throughout the Bible, we see many examples of how our heavenly father loves us, guides us, walks with us, and how he has brought us with the price of the cross so that we are restored to a relationship with him. The command, "Honor your father and mother," gives us guidance how to learn how to value, trust, and honor this, our heavenly father, who we cannot see, by honoring, valuing, and respecting those who we can see and are closest to us. Family is extremely important and can give us the greatest joy of our lives. Honoring and being honored is part of what makes God's family a place of truth, refuge, and salvation for all. And it is unique to the one true God, our one true God. So let us honor him by showing how we honor and care and respect each other. Amen. I'd just like to say at this point, if this has raised any issues for you, please, please don't leave tonight without seeking out Sam or Rob or me or a trusted friend to pray with. Or if it's too raw at the moment, then just write a note, let Rob know, and we will make a time to pray with you later. Thank you.
For those